quick reminder, guys, that this is an older episode and it does not currently reflect the state of BG Mania, a video game music podcast. We're simply re-uploading it because after I moved to Anchor.fm, it disappeared and we want it cataloged. Thanks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
BG Mania, a video game music podcast for August 14th, 2019, is brought to you by Level Down Games. Check us out over at leveldowngames.com for the latest reviews and brand new episodes of both BG Mania, a video game music podcast every Wednesday, and Max Level, a video game podcast every Monday. On with the show. To BG Mania, a weekly video game music podcast brought to you by Level Down Games. I'm Brian, joined as always by the legend of the seven stars himself. It's Frank.
It's-a me.
For those just joining us, what we like to do here at BG Mania is challenge ourselves to never play the same track more than once, except for special occasion episodes, which will be announced in advance. So you're always guaranteed to hear something new, something fresh, and something exciting each and every week. If you're new to the world of video game music podcasts, you are in for a treat. But for all the veterans that may be stumbling upon our neck of the Lost Woods for the first time, Frank and I definitely tell more personal stories about the games we play music from and about the tracks themselves, instead of constantly diving into music theory and breaking apart each track instruments at a time. As always, we hope you enjoy the episode we have lined up for your listening pleasure today. Don't forget to head on over to Apple Podcasts or where you're listening to us and leave that 5-star rating and a review so we continue to climb the charts in terms of search results. I'm thrilled to be doing this episode today, Frank. I'm so excited to listen to this music today.
Absolutely. This is one of my favorite games of all time. I have this game literally sitting 6 feet away from me. I have my eyes are literally on it right now.
That's funny. Yeah, this is a game that I've owned since 1996 when it originally came out. I cherish this game, dude. I love this game with all my heart. It is definitely one of my favorites as well.
I lost this game originally in a flood. Which it sucks, but it happens. But I lost this in a flood and then had to hunt it down as an adult. And let me tell you, the price of this game definitely went up because it's worth it.
Yeah, I know that this is, I don't know exactly how much it is in 2019 dollars.
But it's gone up.
Yeah, I'm sure that it has, but it is worth the price just to own a physical copy of this for collection's sake and for keepsakes, because this is a special game. We're, of course, talking about Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars.
Maybe one of the first RPGs I've ever actually played and enjoyed and loved, too.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could see that because it is, you know, it's a late Super Nintendo title. This came out just May to September is what, 6 months? May to June, June, July? No, 4 months. It came out 4 months before the Nintendo 64 here in North America. So this is a late Super Nintendo title. But I do know that you weren't that big on RPGs and JRPGs back in like the NES and SNES era.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those games that none of my friends had. And they were like, what the hell is this? And I'm like, it's great. It's Mario. It's fun. I'm playing as Peach and I'm smacking people with a frying pan.
This is a game that I was familiar with thanks to Nintendo Power. Like, I knew this was coming, but for whatever reason, I didn't know when it came out originally. And I first played this because a friend brought it over to my house. And, you know, I sat down and played through it, and I just instantly fell in love and convinced my mom to go out and buy it that weekend. Like, just, I had so much fun with this game. Even when I just played a couple hours of his copy, you know, he was a few hours in when he brought it over, so I didn't get to see the initial stages of the game. But this was actually a joint collaboration between Square and Nintendo. And that was so cool back then. And that's probably never going to happen again. I mean, we'll definitely talk more about that later on in the episode as we talk about, you know, if there's potential for something like this to happen again, because I would love to see that.
Hell yeah.
I think that, you know, this is something that's going to be unique and special to that time, because I'm not sure that we'll ever see that collaboration again. I mean, it was produced by Shigeru Miyamoto, but developed by Square and directed by people over at Square before, you know, when they were just Squaresoft before they became Square Enix. So it was really cool. And of course, most of the soundtrack composed by the wonderful Yoko Shimomura.
I do believe all but one of my tracks today will be Yoko Shimomura originals.
You should have two that are not Yoko Shimomura, based off of what I know from your tracks.
At least six of them will be Yoko Shimomura.
Because this soundtrack does have three composers. I mean, Yoko Shimomura is the main composer with the majority of the credits, but Koji Kondo has a few, and Nobu Uematsu has three.
What a power coupling or trio.
Yeah, power trio, man. This is like, you know, three of the all-time greats. You know, just add Yuzo Koshiro to this, and it's my top four.
We throw Mike Moraski in there, and we have a power group.
The opening track was your first pick. What did we hear?
That little jaunty polka was Slope, and I love that track. It's fun. That's me in a nutshell. I like fun. This game was fun.
Now, when I first saw Slope on the soundtrack, I had forgotten the way that the actual music sounded. So I listened to it when we were prepping for the episode before I knew you were actually picking this. And I had a feeling this was going to be one of your picks, but I still listened to the entire soundtrack just because I need to, you know, narrow it down for my own eight. I wondered if it was going to sound similar to Slide in Super Mario 64, because it's, you know, very similarly named, yeah. But it sounds nothing like that.
It's very polka-esque, it's not a polka, though, just for my basic structure.
Right, it just sounds like it, sort of. It has elements of it.
It has a feel to it, and it's bubbly, it's fun, and it's... And that's this game in a nutshell, though, too. Like, this game is just a fun little romp.
Yeah.
And it's not the game I expected. I don't know what I was expecting with a game called Mario RPG, because I had no idea what a role-playing game really was, other than maybe Dungeons & Dragons.
Sure.
So I'm playing this, and I'm expecting, like, Super Mario World, or I'm expecting Super Mario 3 style. And it was nothing like I was used to playing, but I loved it, and I love it. And I really, please just make a part two.
And still to this day, it's great.
We want Geno back, damn it. Come on.
Even if it's just in Smash.
That'll never happen.
I know it'll never happen. Let's take a listen to my first pick from Super Mario RPG. And I went with the opening track. So this is Happy Adventure, Delightful Adventure. And that was Happy Adventure, Delightful Adventure from Super Mario RPG. That track, as the first one was, because I don't think we physically mentioned it, they both were composed by Yoko Shimomura. Frank, did you know that when this game was actually being developed, it was actually being developed as the most advanced 3D Mario for its release?
This was like the Mario 64 of its time?
Yes, and it was supposed to be released earlier than it actually was. But as we mentioned before, you know, we listened to that track, it came out just 4 months before the Nintendo 64. So it was pretty much immediately trumped and beaten by Super Mario 64 in terms of a physical 3D Mario. But Legend of the Seven Stars, it did away with, you know, all of the hand-drawn characters, and they were all 3D rendered on an actual computer. And strengthened by the SA1 chip, the Super Accelerator chip, which featured enhanced RAM and higher clock speeds for the SNES cartridge that was actually programmed around. So this was potentially one of the strongest and biggest, I guess, most powerful Super Nintendo games to release on that console.
And it shows, man, like, this game definitely looks different than everything else. It looks almost, it's in the same vein as like a Donkey Kong Country, like how good it looks.
Yeah, Donkey Kong Country definitely, you know, and you think Star Fox, you know, and how advanced those games were on the Super Nintendo. Like, they use special chips and special cartridges to just make them better and make them more enjoyable. I love this. Like, I can picture from start to finish this entire game in my head.
Absolutely, man. I've actually got the itch to go back and play this, too.
Yeah, it's on the Super Nintendo Classic, so, you know, I fired it up.
So we have it, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, we both also have the physical
We have it physically, cartridge as well. I can see it from here.
But, yeah, I actually started a save on the Super Nintendo Classic, because that's hooked up upstairs in the bedroom for us, but I haven't put that much time into it. I kind of probably do want to play through this again sometime soon, because it's been a long time since I've played through this game from start to finish.
It's been a good 5 years or so for me.
Oh, it's been way longer than that for me. We're talking 15 plus years.
You know me, though, man. I go back and play retro games all the time.
I know. It's been like 15 plus years for me since I finished. It's sometime like the early to mid 2000s is when I last played through this game.
We should do it again, Ryan. Together.
Well, if we would have kept doing revisiting the classics, maybe we would have.
Yeah. I still have like 100 Final Fantasy games to get through.
I know you do.
Oh, man. You know what? That's a good kind of transition.
As soon as you said it, I had a feeling.
You know, I didn't force it this time, but it's a good place to jump off.
I had a feeling.
Speaking of the Final Fantasies.
Yeah, how about that?
Let's listen to The Fight Against Killix.
We'll be right back.
And that was the fight against Killix, composed not by Yoko Shimomura, by Nobuo Uematsu.
Yeah, the only time we're going to hear him on the episode today.
Which makes sense, because Killix's battle, his victory, and the post-battle themes were the boss theme from Final Fantasy IV, the victory theme from Final Fantasy, and the Final Fantasy main theme, all yep. kind of put together. Also, a little fun fact, a little tank tidbit. The elemental crystals that Killix uses are from Final Fantasy 1 and 4.
Yeah, they're the crystals.
Yes, which is cool. But this is an optional fight.
And I like that they stuck this in there because it is Square. I mean, you know, Square then and still to an extent now is synonymous with Final Fantasy. So having a hidden thing in here where, you know, some people didn't even know this existed until well after the game came out. Like, there was, you know, a lot of people actually missed this, and that's crazy because, you know, you miss an entire freaking special, yeah, like a special thing and a special, like, collaboration with Nobuo Uematsu working on this game for Nintendo and with Yoko Shimomura. It's really cool.
On top of that, it was a completely different style battle than the rest of the game. It went back to the classic Final Fantasy style.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this definitely, you know, it was... It felt like you were going back to Final Fantasy IV or II at the time. I guess it was still called here in North America because we knew that it was IV if you followed certain magazines, but, you know, 2 and 3 didn't release here yet. So this is technically 2 on the SNES, but it is 4 in the actual franchise. And it really felt like you were going back and playing that.
I guarantee you I did not find this on my own. This had to be somewhere in Nintendo Power.
I can't remember. I want to say that I didn't see this originally either, because I don't remember what you have to do to get to this fight.
I do.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
You have to buy the fireworks from Moville. You trade them at the Little Mole's store for a shiny stone, and the shiny stone is the key to open the door in Monstro Town.
Okay.
And that's where you fight Killix.
And that's where the fight is. So.
And if you beat them, you get the Quartz Charm, which boosts your stats.
Right.
Which you definitely deserve if you beat this fight, because this is not an easy one.
It's one of the more challenging fights in the game, and it's one of the longer fights in the game as well.
Yeah, I remember this being like a 20-30 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. And that just goes back to the Final Fantasy style, because Final Fantasy boss fights typically are a bit lengthier than what we saw in Super Mario RPG.
Absolutely. Oh man, those fun. I'm just picturing myself playing Final Fantasy and just cursing at all these damn monsters.
Especially at the end of 3, when it's like a freaking just hallway of boss fight after boss fight after boss fight, and it's like 2.5 hours. It sucks.
I remember cursing you out. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Oh man, it sucks. It's the worst. Yeah. And oh yeah, it's not any better in the remake. It's slightly better in the remakes, but not much better. It's still tough and hard to manage through. But I love this, man. Like I said, this just, it brings back so many good memories of not only Super Mario RPG now, but with Final Fantasy IV. Just really cool.
The best Final Fantasy in Frank's opinion.
Yeah, and definitely, in my opinion, one of the top Final Fantasies as well. It's not my favorite. That still is 8, and I think 7 is slightly better than 4 as well. But 4 is definitely at the near the top.
It's
definitely
okay, top 5. You're allowed to be wrong.
Not wrong. definitely top 5. Definitely top 5. All right, man, let's go to my next pick. And everything you're hearing today, obviously, is from Super Mario RPG. This track is known as The Road is Full of Dangers. We'll be right back. And that was The Road is Full of Dangers from Super Mario RPG, composed by Yoko Shimomura. Frank, did you know that you can actually skip the first boss in this game?
Really?
Yeah, you can actually, it's the one against Mac, and that takes place in the Mushroom Kingdom. So there's a glitch in the actual cartridge version of the Super Nintendo that I actually found out. I don't think this was actually published in Nintendo Power, but I think it may have been a Game Pro or something. I remember seeing it somewhere.
Oh, we had all those back in the day, you and me.
Yeah, but I think this is definitely, I knew about this pre-internet days, like pre-popular internet days. So I didn't see this on some message board, you know, in the late 90s or early 2000s. I definitely saw this somewhere in a magazine, whether it was a more well-known one or like a cheat tips and tricks thing. It's somewhere. It's something that I actually own still as well, probably. But you could actually skip the fight with Mac altogether. So what you had to do is when you enter the room, you have to walk carefully to the shysters on the left-hand side. And then when you can, jump on their heads to walk across them. If you jump off onto the platform that Mac is standing on and talk to the Chancellor, you avoid the fight and the cutscene altogether.
Oh, I thought maybe like you broke his pogo stick or something cool like that.
No, that would have been hilarious. Yeah, because he is just sitting there on like the freaking pogo stick. That would have been funny. And you can see this now regularly on Twitch. Most speedrunners use that glitch to get past things.
Yeah, this is a game I could only imagine the speedruns on because you have to know every little in and out to...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I guess it's every speedrunner, to be quite honest.
What I like about that particular track, though, is that it sets up a... Like, it gives you a foreshadowing of kind of like what's to come. You know, the road is full of dangers. Typically, when we played Mario games up to this point, you know, you had the same song and dance for the most part. You save the princess, defeat the Koopa kids, or defeat Bowser, defeat Koopa, whatever they decided to call them in that particular version. You go through the levels, and it was just, you know, the same thing, but it was fun, and they innovated just enough, but it was a lot of the same formula. Super Mario RPG, man, you know, you have these massive 20, 30, 40 minute boss fights being introduced, mini bosses, mini games. Like, there's so much stuff that's going on. The road really was full of danger.
Yeah, it's so true. And like, it just, I'm at a loss for words because what I want to say is just make a damn sequel already.
Yeah, I hear that.
I mean, we have spiritual sequels, I guess, in the Paper Mario games, but it's not the same.
It's definitely not the same. And that, like, you know, the closest we've had is the original Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
The one that was originally released on the Game Boy Advance. That's the closest we've had to an actual, you know, sequel, I guess, to Super Mario RPG. So even if they just went back and made a true to form Mario and Luigi game that didn't feel like a Paper Mario game, I would be happy with that, I guess.
Speaking of Luigi, he really didn't feature in this game. There's little cameos of him, but he wasn't a player. You didn't get to play as Luigi. He wasn't really important to the story.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And that's kind of crazy, huh?
Which sucks, you know, just constantly playing second fiddle. I'm glad he got his own series.
Yeah, of course.
My man. But you know what? I have a nice fun draft for you as well here.
Okay.
I want to take you to the bottom of the sea.
Ooh. Under the sea. Okay. Under the sea.
No. Literally, Brian.
Under the sea.
Literally, Brian. I want to dump your body in the bottom of the sea. This track.
Hashtag not my Ariel.
Oh, please don't keep that in this episode. Oh, God. Oh, please don't. I almost just shot water in my nose. I've never seen that.
It's staying in then.
This is The Sunken Ship.
Thank you.
And that macabre waltz you just heard was The Sunken Ship. Such an amazing track.
Yeah, I am a huge fan of this myself.
I mean, the tune is great in general, but you have the creaking and cracking of the ship in the background. It
lends a lot of atmosphere to that particular track. Like, you can literally picture it.
And it's just, it's creepy, and I love it. I just said to Brian, I go, how come we didn't pick this during one of the creepy episodes? I mean, I'm glad we didn't. I'm glad we got it now. But yeah, such a good song. This is one of my favorites. Maybe one of my favorite ones that I actually picked for my list.
I am surprised that we didn't play this in an October episode as well. It is kind of surprising, but as you mentioned, it's kind of nice that, you know, because we can't pick Beware the Forest Mushrooms on the episode this week.
Oh, I tried.
Because we've already played it. However, we did play it last Monday on the Max Level Podcast, if you want to go listen to it there, because we do a preview of BG Mania where we tend to play tracks we've already played as the preview. That was what we used for that. So that way we kind of technically still played it, just not on this episode.
I still win then. Okay.
It's still got it in there somehow. This was a great area in the game too. Like, definitely one of my favorite areas to explore just because of how ominous, I guess, that it was.
And speaking of ominous characters, I want to give you another little tank tidbit. So,
okay, man, the tank tidbits are flowing this week.
I bring Zuckus. So one of the playable characters, spoiler alert, and I can't even give a spoiler in the game. It's almost 25 years old, I think. Bowser. He's one of the playable characters, and he has a victory pose. You know, when you finally, you know, you beat the enemy, they all do the victory pose. The Japanese version was pretty much the American up yours gesture of your.
Oh,
you
know, like, you know, the, you know, like the make seven up yours type thing.
You know, with one arm out and then the other one like punching up into the sky, the whole up yours thing, like.
Yeah, make seven up yours. That was around the same time this game came out.
You're right. I actually had that T-shirt and got kicked out of gym class for wearing it and had to.
That was right. That was around the same time frame. Yeah.
Yeah. So they changed it in the U.S. version, which is not cool because I would like to have seen that.
What is he doing in the U.S. version? Just like a high five or like a peace
pretty
sign?
Much, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like the usual, it's a let's a go and it's a peace sign or whatever. I almost said it's a me, but then changed it to let's a go halfway through. It's a let's a go. I think that should be his new catchphrase.
What is it? Good done, well job.
Yeah, good. Something like that. I don't know. I say something stupid every week because
well job, good done.
I screw up my words all the time because I talk fast.
I can't judge. I'm a stutterer myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're just stupid. So
first of all, I am the smartest person you know.
No, I'm the smartest person I know.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard you say.
I quickly want to talk about leveldowngames.com before we actually get to our next track. If you're unfamiliar and you're listening to this, we do more than just audio podcasts, so much more. All of our content can be found on our main home on the internet, including new weekly episodes of both BG Mania and Max Level, alongside reviews for the newest release games and accessories, and soon, news pieces are returning to our outlet as we move into a period where we'll have more time to do so, which is actually starting again next month, so it's going to be really cool. So please, if you aren't a regular visitor of leveldowngames.com, consider bookmarking it and checking it out every so often. It would really mean a lot to all of us here and help us out so much. Podcasts, of course, can always be found on your favorite podcast app of choice every Wednesday for BG Mania and every Monday for Max Level. All right, Frank, let's move on to my next pick. And I'm excited to get to this one because I think it's one of the more well-known tracks in the game. And a lot of people have a song that they sing behind this particular track. So again, everything today is from Super Mario RPG. This is Hello, Happy Kingdom. Thank you. That was Hello Happy Kingdom from Super Mario RPG, composed by Yoko Shimomura. I really enjoy this track. It's super catchy, and those lyrics that I mentioned earlier that some people put to the song, I wasn't really familiar with, like, where this came about or how this started, or I have no idea, because it's not something that I originally knew about playing the game. But apparently it's about, like, eating ice cream all day long.
Do enjoy eating ice cream all day long. I never heard any lyrics attributed to that.
I eat ice cream all day long. I don't know. I'm guessing something like that is how it would go, but I don't really know.
You have a beautiful singing voice, Brian.
Huh?
You have a beautiful singing voice.
Yeah, I know. I tell you that all the time when I sing on the show, and you're like, oh, I sound like, you think he's a,
hi, my name is Frank, and I sound like the mix between the lead singer of Def Leppard and the lead singer of Scorpions.
I'm great.
You know that's, and I remember to this day, Frank, it's been, my God, it's been almost 20 years. But when I first started, like, actually talking to you and met you, that's how you described your singing voice to me.
And that's how I feel it is, because I was a very
crafty man for a while. It's so not.
That's how I feel it is, Brian.
It's so not.
It's all about the emotion, okay? Really, my singing voice sounds like a drowned cat. But in my heart, I'm definitely just channeling that Klaus.
Now, I had forgotten about this, but you had mentioned that Luigi really isn't a part of the game, but he's kind of there a little bit.
He's there in cameos.
Well, he's on the Star Hill. There's that wish that you can read that says, I want to be a great plumber like my brother Mario.
That is true. That's absolutely true.
So he's kind of there, but not playable, as you mentioned. I just wanted to bring that up because I'd actually forgotten about that. And I was looking at a website trying to figure out, like, some other fun facts I wanted to bring up. And that was actually on there. So what a fun track that is, man. What a fun track. I really like
it. It is. And maybe I will write my own lyrics to that one day. And I'll sing them to you in my wonderful, wonderful singing voice.
You're going to go out there and let me see if I can pull it. Let me see. Super Mario RPG. What was the name of that track? I don't remember. Happy Kingdom. No. Hello, Happy Kingdom. Let's see here. It says, I eat ice cream all through the night. Scrub, scrub, scrub all the floors in Hyrule. These are just like comments on the YouTube video. See here. Oh, here's this person actually had. I eat ice cream all through the night, all through the night, all through the night. I eat ice cream all through the night, and as a result, I got diabetes. It sounds like your song. Oh.
They're singing to my soul. Okay.
It sounds like, so I guess it could be, it's sort of like the fight for the light world, or
it's the theme to the dark world.
Yeah, it's something similar to that, because I'm seeing I eat ice cream all through the night and scrub, scrub, scrub all the floors in Hyrule. So those are the two different things.
Mario wouldn't be scrubbing those floors in Hyrule, you dumb bastards.
Actually, everybody has different lyrics. My ship sails in the morning.
Make a nautical tune out of it. I like that. That's,
yeah,
definitely speaks to my East Coast Islander soul.
And then this person's hedgehog semen.
But it also speaks to a different kind of thing. That is not a true or there.
No, man. Some people on YouTube are stupid.
But speaking of islands.
Speaking of hedgehog semen.
Little spunk on over to welcome to Yosser Island. That is welcome, Yoster Island.
Woo! Yoster, baby. Boshi.
Yes, Boshi. The infamous Boshi is in this game. He is, in the Japanese version, called Washi, which is he's a bad boy. Has an antagonistic look, which means that he is Yoshi's Wario, which is the counterpart like Wario and Waluigi. That's what Boshi was meant to be for Yoshi.
Have we seen Boshi since? I don't think so.
We have not seen Boshi since, and I really wish we would. I would love to see. First of all, we haven't seen Waluigi in a real game other than a sports or fun game.
True.
When we do see Waluigi in a game, I want him to be riding Boshi.
That would be funny. You know, I'm surprised that there hasn't been like a Wario and Waluigi game, like combined duo type thing. It would make sense for them to do that.
I mean, a good start would maybe get him into Smash, but you know, it's.
I actually don't think he's. I don't know, man. I don't think he's going to make it in Smash.
I don't think it's ever going to happen either.
I don't think I think that, you know, they would be caving in if they did it to fan demand. And, you know, Nintendo doesn't really like to cave to fan demand. So,
yeah, God forbid you actually make us fans happy, you sons of.
That's a fun track. And again, one that I am surprised sounds nothing like the Yoshi Island music that we're familiar with from Koji Kondo.
Nah, it's had a very Caribbean feel. I felt like I was going to Gullah Gullah Island.
Oh, man.
Come and let's play together in the bright sunny weather. That's right. I know about Gullah Gullah Island.
Let's all go to Gullah Gullah Island.
Gullah Gullah. Binya Binya. Okay. Oh, here we go.
I never really was that big of a fan of that show.
Well, we're a little too old for it, but I have younger sisters, so I get the pass.
I still am familiar with all that stuff. As I've mentioned in the past, my mom used to babysit like younger children when I was growing up elementary, middle school. And some of those shows I actually kind of enjoyed. Still to this day, some of those are really educational and fun.
Hashtag bring back Eureka's Castle.
Oh my God, Eureka's Castle. That's a show that I haven't thought about in a minute. I was more thinking like Blue's Clues, which is getting a reboot this year.
Is Steve coming back?
He's the Filipino Steve, but similar. Yeah. I mean, you know,
speaking of Filipino Steve replacements, I do love me some Journey.
Yeah, I think this guy is Filipino of descent, and he looks like he'll be a good host. I don't know. We'll see. I'll check it out because I'm curious to see what they do with a modern Blue's Clues. I don't know. They're apparently going to use some of the similar styles, just make it more like CGI. So I'm kind of interested to see what it looks like. So I definitely want to check out the reboot. Not that I'm going to sit there and like, you know, avidly be.
Yeah, yes, you are.
Yeah, no. You're right. I probably will be, you know, have the T-shirts and maybe the notebook and all that stuff.
And you're getting the tattoo.
Oh, the tattoo of the thinking chair.
But the clue, which you're going to put it somewhere in your body, like, what's this? And like, everybody's been asking what the hell that is.
All right, man, let's move on to my next pick. Let's take a listen from Super Mario RPG. This is Here's Some Weapons. Was Here's Some Weapons from Super Mario RPG, again composed by Yoko Shimomura. That track also has a unique and distinct feel to it. I really like that one a lot.
Yeah, it has, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like, bum, 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 bum. It's kind of creepy, but it's not.
Yeah, it's sort of eerie. You dun 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 dun,
ba dun 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 dun. I think like a monstery kind of Addams Family kind of feel to it, but not, you know, like.
Yeah, not like full-blown horror-esque, but it definitely, it has that feel to it. And, you know, the name of the track, you know, Here's Some Weapons, it doesn't sound like it would be even the slightest bit ominous, but it kind of is.
Is that a shop theme, or is that talking about the actual bosses? Because the bosses themselves were weapons.
It's not a boss theme. I guess it could be a shop theme. I don't know. Okay. Physically actually remember. I don't remember where this one plays.
I bring good questions to the table here.
Yeah, too bad we don't know the answers to the questions you pose.
Well, just when you think you have the answers, I change questions.
Oh, no, that's Roddy Piper.
Oh, okay. One of us.
Whose daughter is part of the women's championship tournament for AEW?
I just saw that, too.
Yeah.
My money's on Jazz, just saying.
My money's on someone that probably hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, Jazz.
AJ Lee.
You be still my, don't even joke, okay?
Because I've heard rumors.
Because as soon as she breaks up with CM Punk.
Yeah, they're married, Frank.
I'm making my move.
No. I've actually heard that they're both going to be involved, so we'll see.
That'd be cool. I'd love to see them fight against the monsters that are over there in AEW.
The monsters?
So my next track is called Fight Against Monsters.
Of course
it is. I'm such a jerk. That was Fight Against Monsters. That one is just, it sounds so fun. It doesn't sound like you're fighting against monsters. It seems like you're having a nice little time to
that is, and that's the, like, just the generic battle music, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, just generic, like, random Goombas and other things along the way. And
yeah, your non-boss fights, your, I guess, what would be normally random battle encounters in other JRPGs. Yes. This one, the enemies were on the screen, if I remember correctly, correct?
Yes. which is my favorite kind. I don't like just random battles out of nowhere. I do like to like try to get the tactical advantage on something if I can, like in a game, like if you have a hammer, maybe smack them on the map to kind of get the first hit.
Both styles have their place. I appreciate both styles, and I enjoy both styles, actually. JRPGs are my favorite genre, though.
For me, a random battle is like a Pokemon battle.
Yeah, because Pokemon battles are random.
For now. I don't think they are anymore.
No, I think they are in Sword and Shield.
Well, fingers crossed, because I want that to stay around. You know,
I think the Let's Go games will have non-random battles, but the mainline Pokemon games probably will still keep the random battles. Speaking of, you weren't actually on max level this past week. What do you think of Team Yell?
I am not a fan.
Why?
Why do you like Team Yell?
Because it's British punk, dude. No. It's inspired by the Sex Pistols. It's inspired by Billy Idol. Freaking Marnie, she's a fantastic looking character. What's wrong with Team Yell?
Not my punk.
You probably don't even know what they look like. I probably posed a question to you. Huh?
Want me to send you a picture?
Of what?
One of the Team Yell memes that are already up.
Oh, I don't know the memes, but I just think that, you know, the new like team that you're going against in that game looks really cool.
I will kill them all with my Pikachu.
I'm so glad that they're actually who
I'm going to call Lord Sparkington. Just so you know.
I'm so glad that they are basing it more like they're definitely keeping things regional, even more so than they have in the past. It seems
that is the cool part. You know, like it'd be weird if they had just like a team that didn't fit.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking more it would be like just a regular steampunk kind of thing.
Well, that's what like Sean and I actually talked about Weezing, because he pretty much looks like a bong. His Galarian form.
Are those pictures real with the stealth top pipe?
Yes.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he looks like a bong.
I thought that was a meme. That is awesome.
No, he looks like a bong.
Bongs are water pipes used for smoking tobacco, kids, which you shouldn't do either.
Wow.
Brian?
That's not for me to say.
We are not advocating your wacky tobacco on this episode.
Not for me to say. No, it's not really tobacco, Frank, that I smoke.
Yes, it's the devil's lettuce.
Fun track, though. I enjoyed that a lot. I'm glad you actually picked that one. I am going to stick with the weapons theme I started with my last track. And I want to take a listen to, again, from Super Mario RPG, this is Weapons Factory. And that was Weapons Factory from Super Mario RPG, again composed by Yoko Shimomura. I really, really dig this track, dude. It fits the music that you're hearing, the instrumentation, the way that it sounds. It does really remind me a lot of like an old style Weapons Factory.
I was gonna say it does have like a very very manufacturing kind of feel to it, like, and that's the thing Yoko does a lot. Like, she definitely fits the tracks to the areas probably better than most.
Oh no, she's great at it. I mean, there's a reason why she's you know, we consider her a goddess with what she does.
We've never had a bad thing to say about Yoko Shimomura.
Absolutely not.
If you do, I will break your freaking fingers for it.
Speaking of Yoko Shimomura, though, she actually regards the soundtrack to Super Mario RPG as one of the turning points in her career as a composer. So she credits a lot of her success post Mario RPG to this particular game. And I can totally see that.
Absolutely. This is a strong soundtrack from top to bottom. We haven't played anything yet that I haven't liked.
Like, you would think that, you know, she would consider Street Fighter 2 as like one of the pivotal turning points of her career. But looking back at it, this soundtrack definitely is a lot more memorable and probably a lot more important, I would argue, than Street Fighter 2.
I don't know, man. Street Fighter 2 music, it's...
No, it's great. It's absolutely great.
I don't know if I can get behind that statement. I think it's a great soundtrack, but I'm a Street Fighter guy all the way through.
Yeah, I definitely think that the soundtrack for Super Mario RPGs is quite a bit more important than what we saw with Street Fighter 2.
But I'm not going to argue. It's Yoko Shimomura against Yoko Shimomura, so it's...
Of course.
In the end, it's all great stuff.
Of course.
I say we do my favorite thing in the entire world.
What's
that?
I say
the Fuka Fuka.
What's the Fuka Fuka?
I have no idea, but that's the name of this track. So let's do the Fuka Fuka. That was Let's Do the Fuka Fuka, composed by Yoko Shimomura. What the Fuka Fuka was that?
A great track, Frank.
That's exactly what it was, Brian. So that's the music that plays when you're in Nimbus Land, the home of the Mallows, who are cloud people.
Yeah, Gino.
No, that's a different person.
I know.
But yeah, Mallow's another one who I wouldn't mind seeing again.
Gino, Mallow, Boshi, all these characters that literally just exist in this game.
Which is weird, you know, because they're popular characters. I mean, I think Gino more than anyone else. People have been clamoring to have him added to something, anything. Hell, add him to Mario Kart. That'd be cool.
Oh, can you imagine?
Put him like in a little wooden puppet, like Mario Kart car.
No, put him in a cloud, and then they're both in there.
Mallow could be the car.
Yeah, exactly.
That is genius, Brian. Sometimes you're not so dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Mallow's the car. Gino's riding in the car. That'd be cool. That would be a nice throwback. Like, that would be a nice callback, I guess, to that game. And I think a lot of people would appreciate that.
And we were talking about it. I was like, these characters don't show up in other things. His music doesn't really show up in any other games. I think it's because this was a collaborative effort. Maybe there's some kind of licensing issue. I don't know.
Potentially.
But let's make this happen. I'm more than willing to pay the money if Yoko Shimomura wants to go ahead and compose some songs for, you know, the sequel to this, the true sequel.
Yeah.
I'm willing to pay at least $10-$15. We'll crowdfund it. We'll kickstart it. We'll kickstart my heart. This is what we'll kickstart.
I love this track, dude. Like, everything about this, it's very whimsical.
It is. And like, you would think that this would be something you would hear like in a Mario Galaxy. You know,
it definitely should have been remixed in that little, you know, two games. 1000% it should have been remixed in that.
Okay. You guys got to get on this. Okay. Who do I need to talk to? Want to call Mr. Doug Bowser? I can do that.
Yeah. I think you'd have to talk to Doug.
Okay. I have an in at Nintendo. I have an uncle who works there. No, I'm just kidding. Everybody had an uncle who worked at Nintendo in the elementary school days.
Yeah, we all did.
That's how I found out that you can get Mew by pushing the car in Pokemon.
Yeah, through somebody's uncle at Nintendo.
Yeah, which wasn't real, just another BS thing that used to get heard on the thing. That's why I'm so glad the internet exists. No more of this nonsense. Nobody lies on the internet anymore.
Yeah. Just look no further than Frank, a habitual liar himself.
I got feelings, Brian. How dare you?
I know. Frank, I do want to quickly talk about something special that Level Down Games gets to be a part of. For those who are unfamiliar with Kyle, you can hear him weekly every Monday on Max Level, as well as catch his streams at twitch.tv/Bruce_Deuce every Tuesday, Thursday, and either Saturday or Sunday. That's BRUCE_DEDEUCE. Next month, on September 21st and 22nd, he's hosting a charity event on Twitch with several different streamers involved. So far, it's around 6 or 7, with potentially more set to be announced at a later date. And some of them are even verified with significant audiences of their own, which is pretty cool. They'll be raising money for the Las Vegas PBS Special Needs Library, as Kyle himself is a pediatric doctor of physical therapy in Las Vegas. We encourage everyone listening to participate in the StreamWorks Alliance charity of Stream next month on September 21st and September 22nd. Information can be found by going to leveldowngames.com and clicking on StreamWorks Alliance there in the menu bar. We'll see you there. All right, Frank, I'm excited to move this next piece of music. You actually asked me if I had picked this one, and I think that this is definitely one of your favorites as well.
It is. It just narrowly made my list. I actually picked too many tracks.
Yeah, you had picked 9.
I picked 9.
Which means you wanted to pick 10.
I actually picked 10, and I took one off. Yeah, then I had to drop another one.
Yeah, you dropped another one as well, so I had a couple left over, and I listened to everything that I still had, and I was like, you know what, this one has to make the episode.
I think I asked you like 3 times, too, like, do we pick that track?
Yeah. So again, from Super Mario RPG, this is Ducati Mountain Railroad. We'll be right back. And that was Ducati Mountain Railroad from Super Mario RPG, composed by Yoko Shimomura. That is an excellent piece of music. How good is that?
It's so fun. And like, I originally picked it. It was on my list, and I was like, I'm gonna cut it. And then what I always try to do is, hey Brian, did you pick this song? Like, come on, buddy. So I can get my official ninth pick in there.
I mean, it's definitely something that I had already previously saved. Like, I kind of knew that I wanted to pick this track because I like picking things that, you know, are different. And this is very different.
It's Western. It's like a Western wagon train, which I guess makes sense because it's a Ducati Mountain train.
Yeah, but it's so good, man. It's so good.
And it's such a cool range, too, that she has, like, all over this game. Because I guess it makes sense because this game takes place all over the Mushroom Kingdom.
All over the place, yes. You're definitely getting different areas and different aspects that, up to this point, we had yet to explore. Like, you think of Mario 1, Mario 2, Mario 3, and Super Mario World. Outside of, I guess, Mario Kart, which had some different stages and levels that were unique, this game introduced several areas of the Mushroom Kingdom that we had yet to see. And that was pretty interesting to get to experience.
You know, that's a damn good point, because even Mario World really wasn't the Mushroom Kingdom. That was Dinosaur Land.
Yeah, absolutely. The only one that, I mean, and Mario 3 was a play. Like, that took place on a stage.
Yeah.
So that wasn't even
real. Mario 2 was a dream.
Mario 2 was a dream. So the only one that actually took place in the Mushroom Kingdom was technically Mario 1. And
then 64.
And Mario 1 really was just like an amalgamation of stuff. Really, the first game that actually took place in a true-to-life Mushroom Kingdom was Super Mario 64. But I guess technically this as well.
Technically this, Mario RPG.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
And what's cool about that is that there are other characters that make cameo appearances in the game besides just Mushroom Kingdom characters, like Link and Samus from Zelda and Metroid.
Yes. Was it like Link? You hear like the da-da-da-da kind of sounds better. Or the da-da-da-da.
You hear the like the puzzle solved music or whatever from original Legend of Zelda.
I remember Samus was like half asleep, like sleeping, go to fight Mother Brain, something along those lines.
Yeah, it's like a line from Super Metroid, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure it was that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of like little cool Easter eggs that Square stuck in there.
Isn't it cool that all these universes cross over and they wouldn't cross over again until Smash?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Which actually wasn't too far away from this game because
N64 the original came out Smash was N64, like 97-ish era, I think, was when the first Smash came out. So,
right. Yep. We went this far without playing this track. The main theme of the antagonists of this game.
Okay, what do you got?
This is the Axum Rangers. Drop it. And that was the Axum Rangers Drop In, composed by Yoko. By the man, the myth, the legend, Koji Mother Effing Kondo. That's his actual middle name, too.
Which basically, that's just a remix of the underground theme from Mario, yeah.
But it's done so well. And I love the Axum Rangers, who are, by the name alone, you should understand, are a
Go Go Power Rangers.
Definitely a parody of Super Senpai, the Power Rangers. such good villains, though. It's just such a good, a funny little thing to add to the game, and a pain in the ass fight.
Yeah, man. Man, this was so cool. Like, just the fact that they're inspired by Power Rangers, or whatever the hell it's called in Japan.
Super Sentai.
Yeah, Super Sentai. It's unique, and I like that they did that. And you can clearly tell.
And a lot of the, like, the villain, like, the major bad guys in the game, all of them were based upon weapons. But one of them in particular, his name is Punchinello, and he's a large anthropomorphic bomb. And his original U.S. name was going to be James Bomb, like James Bond. His entrance was going to be Bomb, James Bomb. But management at Nintendo America didn't like it, but they kept the whole gag. And when he introduces himself, he goes, Nello, Punchinello. So at least that's there to show, like, what was going on. But
that's funny.
It's cool. I love when pop culture makes its way into a video game. It's why I was a big fan of the Metal Gear series.
So it's a big round bomb, not named Frank.
No, Frank is big and round and is the bomb. Okay.
I see. My mistake.
And once again, Brian, audio podcast.
My mistake. Yeah, man, I'm glad you picked that, because like I said, your picks actually were able to get us both Nobuo Uematsu and Koji Kondo's representation on the show.
We got to get the whole trifecta on the show.
Well, you did that unknowingly because you...
lots of things unknowingly, Ryan. Okay,
stupidly thought that Yoko Shimomura did the entire soundtrack by herself.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna just phone this one in.
I already have my composers, is what you say to me after you submit your list. I was like, do you, Frank? Do you actually have your composers?
Well, I did by the time the episode came out, but I live my life like there's no tomorrow, you know?
Is that a song?
That's part of Running with the Devil by Van Halen's.
You see, there's only a couple Van Halen songs I actually like.
Well, the only ones you're supposed to like are the ones that are sung by Mr. David Lee Roth.
Yeah, and I more prefer the Sammy Hagar era of Van Halen.
Podcast over, Brian, go kill yourself.
Come on, dude. When It's Love, it's a great song.
Some kind of alien is walking through my dream. Love comes coming. I hate Sammy Hagar.
Why, dude? I can drive 55.
First of all, I drive faster than 55 to work every day, okay? And if you're a police officer and you hear this and you know what my car is, please don't pull me over because I cannot afford that ticket.
Exactly. So, all right, man, we got a couple tracks left. I want to move to my next one now. And this one, you may not be familiar with the name because I actually go by the official names of the soundtrack. But I think in the English version, this character was Booster, if I remember correctly. With Booster's Tower, is that what it was?
Booster, yes.
Booster. But on the name of the official soundtrack, it's Buki, which is the Japanese name of the character. So the name of the track officially is Welcome to Buki Tower. But in the game, it's Booster Tower. Was Welcome to Buki Tower from Super Mario RPG, composed by Yoko Shimomura. I like how, like, I like the tone of this track, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I like the speed, the way that it sounds. It's more somber than a lot of other things we've heard so far today.
It had a bit of Castlevania feel to it, like a that as if you're just walking, like, I guess because I've been playing so much Bloodstained.
I guess like some of the slower portions, not definitely not like your 1-1 music or anything like that.
But like your nice open area kind of thing where you're walking through. It had that kind of feel to it, which I like.
Yeah, it definitely has that feel to it, for sure. It's a great piece of music, man. It just, like I said, just as you mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, Yoko Shimomura's chops were definitely shown throughout this game and the amazing way she was able to just apply so many different techniques and so many different genres and so many different sounds and have it still sound like Mario to an extent.
I can't wait for her to drop her rap album. It's going to be freaking awesome.
Oh, geez. I don't even want to know.
Well, I'm Yoko, and I gives no shit, and I don't care for writing it.
Yeah, I'm sure exactly. That's exactly how it's going to sound.
She wrote that, or Anthrax, one or the other, I don't know.
The only other cameos we didn't mention while recording the episode are the ones that you can actually find just outside of the kind of area where you fight the Axum Rangers. Do you remember the from F-Zero, Captain Falcon and Samurai Goro's ships on those crates
They were like little models of the ships, yeah.
Yeah, next to the R-Wing from Star Fox.
And if I'm not mistaken, and you could call me out on this one if I'm wrong, but I could have sworn that one of the enemies was called Bahamut.
Yes, that's from Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was there, okay.
Yeah, Bahamut is a famous summon from Final Fantasy, and yes, he was an enemy in the game as well.
Okay, so I'm not too crazy, just mostly.
Just mostly, most of the time. Yep.
That's cool. I love this game. I'm kind of sad we only got two tracks left.
Two tracks left, and you have the penultimate pick.
All right. This track, I found the actual name for it here. This is called Marjorie Margarita. That was Marjorie Margarita, the boss music for Valentina, one of the bosses in the game, whose name is Margarita in the Japanese version, probably for the fact that she is carrying a martini glass in her hand the entire time. So
yeah, it's super cool looking too. I love that. I love that small little touch that they added for that, for sure.
What's cool is after you beat her and her minion Dodo, who you heard their noises during the thing, they flee and they run away and they run to Booster's tower, and that's where she takes refuge. And there's like an optional scene you could see there if you climb up. You can see that Booster is proposing marriage to her and she refuses, and then he whispers something into his ear, and then she like falls in love with him. So I always had a theory on what he whispered had to do with the size of his booster.
His buki.
His buki. The size of his buki. And they get married in the kingdom of Weddingmore or Marrymore or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was cool. That was a pain in the butt fight too. A lot of these fights were long. I like easy things.
It's a JRPG, and like I said, usually more often than not, those games tend to have more challenging and difficult boss battles. Super Mario RPG, for being a JRPG, the boss fights are still relatively easier than what you're going to see in your traditional JRPGs.
You know, the boss fights were a little more challenging, but like some of the random battles, there was a glitch that you could do with Geena.
Okay.
If you timed his timed attack just right, you could do 99 damage.
Oh, I've seen that.
Thankfully, does not work on the bosses.
That would have been one-shotting everything. Yeah.
Well, because Valentina, I looked it up just to see, had 2,000 HP, so you would have instantly killed her, and she was a little later boss in the game. She wasn't one of the first ones. So.
Yeah, definitely toward the end, and that, you know, that's a shame. I think even the last boss was only, you know, maybe 1,000 or so higher than that. So.
Yeah.
Maybe 2,000 higher, but yeah. Crazy. And great music. Great music.
Yoko does no wrong.
Yoko does zero things wrong. And I actually am going to close out the episode with the playout music with another boss battle. And this actually is the final battle. I'm going to play Fight Against Smithy from Super Mario RPG.
He loves to transform.
Well, no, not that version. The first version, the non-transformed version.
But in general, he loves to transform.
He does love to transform. But there are two tracks for this, obviously. You know,
and your version is much, much better.
Yeah, there's Fight Against Smithy and then Fight Against Smithy Who Loves Transforming. I decided to go with just the original because I do actually think it's a stronger track.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
And again, long, fun boss fight, which Mario RPG has a lot of, as we mentioned throughout the episode.
This was a fun fight. I do remember this one vividly, because I guess because it's the last fight.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be the one that sticks in your mind most after finishing the game, because
I feel like this one took about 25 to 30 minutes.
It probably was in that realm of time frame, yeah. It definitely was a bit, you know, a bit more challenging as it should be for a final boss fight. And the music shows, man. The music is definitely epically rocking to an extent.
I remember beating this game when I first got it. And this game had, what, 96?
May 13th, 1996 here in North America.
Okay, so I was 14, so that would have put me ninth grade? That's math right?
Roughly, yeah. I was
okay.
You know, 10, so.
I'm trying to do my math there. So I remember playing this game, and I played it all through the night on a Sunday.
While eating ice cream all through the night. All through the night. Scrub, the floors in Hyrule.
Hedgehog semen.
Frank's favorite drink all through the night. All through the night. Hedgehog semen.
Skeet, skeet, skeet. But yeah, I remember playing this game to at least like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like to beat it. Because once you're in there, you have to keep going. And I had to wake up early for school. So I remember faking sick.
Okay.
It was one of the first times.
Playing hooky.
One of the first times I ever did that for a video game, and definitely not the last. Hell, I would do it from work. I still do it from work to this day sometimes. Boss, I didn't say that on the podcast. it was one of the first times I ever, you know, played hooky because I played too many video games. I'll never forget that. I remember telling my mom, "Oh, I'm sick," and she's like, "You're playing video games all night, weren't you?" I was like, "No." She goes, "Did you beat that?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "So you're playing video games all night?" "Yeah." And she let me stay home. She actually let me stay home.
Yeah, I think we've actually talked a little bit about this on the show before.
We probably
my mom used to let me stay home whenever I wanted to. I just had to request it. Like, I didn't have to be sick.
That's because she loved you. Whereas my mother?
She hates you. She hates you. No. No.
No. My mother doesn't hate me. That's my sister.
There were, yeah. Yeah, Nicole definitely hates you now. Definitely yes. Hates you now. There were, you know, genuine times when I was sick and I used to stay home from school as well. You know, I actually got pretty ill when I was in high school, where I had to stay home for like 4 weeks straight. Like,
is that when they pumped your stomach?
No.
Oh, well, that was a different time. That was
I've never had my stomach.
Was that because you had all that semen in your stomach? Or was that Rod Stewart?
The hedgehog semen?
Yeah. That was Rod Stewart.
That was you. Just like 5 minutes ago.
It goes down smooth.
No. I got pretty ill in high school and, you know, my doctor ordered me to stay home and I wasn't able to go back for a lengthy period of time. And I also had surgery while I was in high school that took me out of action for 3 weeks. So there were several, you know, periods of time that I missed throughout high school that I distinctly remember exactly what games I was playing. And it was a lot of fun, I guess, as fun as it can be when you're sick. So or laid up, not able to move.
Nowadays, laid up, not able to move. That's a day off for me.
That's Frank on the day off. But yeah, from Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, we're going to close out with Fight Against Smithy. But what a great episode this ended up being, man. I'm really glad that we finally sat down and explored the music of Super Mario RPG, because we had played a couple tracks from this in the past. We played, the Beware the Forest Mushrooms, the Forest Maze music, and we also played Barrel Volcano. But that was all that we had played from this game. So it's nice that we finally sat down and really just explored the entire soundtrack.
Yo, Brian, you ever want to sit me down and do the music from a Yoko Shimomura composed game again? I'll be there.
You know for a fact that we're going to do it again in the future. Like, not necessarily with this game, but with another Yoko Shimomura composed game. There will definitely be others.
It's right up there with, like, you telling me, hey, this is a Falcom game. Yes, yes, I will be there with bells on.
Yeah, yeah. Why bells?
That's a popular term in nomenclature.
Okay.
I don't know what that means either, to be quite honest.
Okay.
just like the Portal episode, which we'll do in the future. I will be there.
Yeah. One day we'll, one day we'll do that. One day. But I think that is going to bring us to the close of the show, unless you have anything else you want to mention before we get on out of here.
Watch the charity stream, damn it.
Oh, yeah. September 21st, 22nd. Check out that charity stream.
If I'm alive from the Area 51 raid, I will be there watching as well.
Yeah. And you're making some sweet coasters to raffle off during that charity stream.
I absolutely am. It's going to be worth a look at. Maybe we'll put a little preview of them on Lovedown Games before they go up for sale.
I think we will. I think we definitely will. So you can check those out eventually at lovedowngames.com to see exactly what Frank's new business venture is. Check out his shop soon on Etsy. All right, that is going to do it for this week, though. We want to thank you for sticking with us and listening to another episode of BG Mania made possible by leveldowngames.com. Don't forget to submit tracks, ideas, and requests for future episodes to bgmania@leveldowngames.com. Regardless of the podcast service you're listening through, be sure to show your support by leaving a rating and a review, especially if you're listening through Apple Podcasts. We'd also be grateful if you could drop it over to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/leveldowngames and subscribe to us there. And if you haven't already, while you're at it, hit up twitch.tv/leveldowngames and click that follow button. We are going to have complete coverage of all of the major announcements from Gamescom next week. The couple press conferences that are going to be happening, like the opening ceremony from Jeff Keighley, where there's going to be Death Stranding stuff, the Google Stadia Connect stuff on, you know, there's some new Google Stadia announcements, Microsoft show and EA show. I think that's all like next Monday and Tuesday. So we'll have coverage of that on our YouTube channel. If you want to check out our reaction videos to that, I highly recommend you do so, because we enjoy doing that kind of stuff. But if you want to follow someone that is live often on Twitch, as I mentioned all the time, and as Frank just mentioned, twitch.tv/Bruce_deduce. That's BRUCE_DEDEUCE, where you can catch him every Tuesday, every Thursday, and every Saturday or Sunday streaming a multitude of different games. Super fun to watch. Check him out. Stalking us on social media is perfectly acceptable. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook would be the place to do so. Check the description box for the appropriate links. Next week, Frank, we have another fantastic episode lined up. Are you ready for part two of Amiga Music?
Hell yes.
Let's do it then. Let's do it then. 8 tracks from you, 8 tracks from me, all from the Commodore Amiga. I can't wait.
It's going to be great. What licensed song are we going to pull next?
Oh, I know. That's what's great about the Amiga is that, you know, so many of those pieces of music sound like ripoffs of popular music back in the day. So yeah, can't wait for that. Check out part 2 of Amiga Music next week on BG Mania. Taking us out of this episode, once again, we have the Fight Against Smithy from Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, as everything you heard today was composed by Yoko Shimomura. Keep the music playing and keep it loud.